Praise God for that. That's a great story. Amen. Well, this is our sixth message in our series on tested and triumphant through trials. It's hard to believe. Amen. Lord willing, I believe I'll preach two more out of this passage on Joseph, two more messages, and I trust that they've been helpful to you. I know this, if nobody else has benefited from this, preacher has benefited from the study time and just getting in. And as Brother Becker talked about Joseph in his prayer and how Joseph was just a type of Christ, and you can see it in so much. And so our first message we entitled Joseph the Dreamer. And we talked about Joseph's family, and it was certainly a family that would make afternoon talk shows blush. Amen. It was a mess. And we talked about his favored status, and then we talked about his future. He had the dreams. Amen. And then in our second message, we looked at Joseph the despised, and we looked at his brothers and their treatment of him, and their contempt for him, and their conspiracy against him, and their cruelty to him. And you remember, they sold him into slavery. Amen. Then we looked at Joseph the determined, after he'd been sold into slavery and brought into Potiphar's house, how he experienced the peace of God and he experienced great prosperity and he experienced promotion there. And then he experienced peril. And you remember, the peril that he experienced was Potiphar's wife cast her carnal eye on him and said, lie with me, commit adultery with me. But praise God, Joseph's priority was God. He said, how can I do this sin and this great wickedness against sin against God? Boy, that we'd all have that. We're talking about this morning about secret sins, that we'd all just take Joseph's advice. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Amen. And so we looked at, in our fourth message, at Joseph the defamed. You remember what happened. Joseph fled and he left his coat in Potiphar's wife's hand. And I like what the old preacher said, Mr. Perry said, he lost his coat, but he kept his integrity. Amen. I like that. Amen. And you know what happened? We had the consistent integrity of Joseph. And then we had the carnal tongue of Potiphar's wife who started spreading lies about Joseph. Amen. Then we send the cruel sentence of Potiphar, but praise God, in it all was the continuing providence of God. Remember at the end of that chapter in 39, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Amen. From the pit to the prison, and we're going to look at the palace, amen, the Lord was with Joseph. Our last message, our fifth message, 2 weeks ago, we preached on Joseph the dutiful. And we looked at the transgression that took place between Potiphar's baker and his butler. And then we looked at the vision that they had. And they told him, Joseph, their dreams. And then Joseph gave, praise God, Joseph had compassion. And I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what'll do that in your life. I'll tell you what'll fill your soul with a boatload of compassion. Trials. Trials. I had the privilege to, last night, get up and see Mrs. Taverney, and sweet Mrs. Ewald was up there with Mrs. Taverney, and they've kind of just bonded those two sweet couples, amen, the Ewalds and the Taverneys. Mrs. Ewald was giving her testimony. If you don't know Mrs. Ewald's testimony, I'd encourage you to hear it. At 32, with four children, she was wheelchair bound with horrific rheumatoid arthritis. And her husband had to take care of her and those babies. And she said, God moved compassion into my husband's soul. You know what will do that? Trials. Yeah. By the way, we don't like trials. No. I don't like them. Maybe you do. God bless you, you mature saint. Amen. I still can't stand them. Amen. I just don't like him. Amen. And what happened there was the Lord was with Joseph. He had compassion. What was his compassion? He went to the butler and the baker that had been in prison and he said, why are you looking so sad today? Why are you looking so sad? had compassion on their soul. Then, of course, was the interpretation. He told the butler that he was going to be restored to his office. He told the baker that he was not going to be restored and it wasn't going to be very good for him. And then he had a petition, which we'll talk about in this message. And then we had the realization. Everything came to pass exactly as Joseph said it would. And then we gave some applications from last week. I want to just repeat them to you. We talked about the tree of trials produces the fruit of patience. Amen. I want patience, and I want it right now. In the fast food line. Amen. With next to the microwave. Amen. No, doesn't work that way. I like what Teal Bintches said. She said, I prayed for patience, and God gave me twins. Amen. I like that. Amen. God, listen, we cannot, here's another application, we cannot allow the root of bitterness to grow in the soil of our heart through mistreatment. Can't do it, folks. Listen, Hebrews 12:3, consider Him which endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. No matter how awful you're treated, you will never be treated worse than Jesus was treated.
Right.
Never. Consider Him. Amen. God's prospering of us after false accusation can restore trust that had been perceived to be broken. Remember we talked about that? Such an interesting portion of Scripture there. How the captain of the guard sent these prisoners to Joseph. Folks, you remember who the captain of the guard was? Potiphar. Who Joseph had been falsely accused of trying to abuse his wife. And Potiphar realized God was prospering him and that it wasn't true. It wasn't true. And that can happen in our lives too. God can prosper us after a false accusation. And it can restore trust. People say, you know what, maybe I got it wrong. Amen. That's all right. Amen. God uses trials in our lives so that one day, we can be a blessing to someone going through the same trials. I think of our widowers in our church. Brother Herb is a new widower. We're praying for you, Brother Herb. Prayed for you in prayer meeting tonight. You know, we've got some widowers that can help you. That have walked where you're walking right now. Where you're casting those dark, lonely footsteps. We've got men in this church that have cast those same footsteps. God, 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, blessed be the God of all comforteth us, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort also those wherewith by the comfort that we are comforted. Meaning, just as simply as this, listen, those that are going through trials, God's going to use that in somebody's life later down the road. You're going to be able to be a blessing to them. As God gives us opportunities to be a blessing, there is also equal opportunities to give God the glory. Remember what Joseph said when they came to him? And they said, we dream these dreams and we don't know what to do. And Joseph said, well, don't dreams belong to God? And he gave God the glory, didn't he? He gave God the glory. We've said, doing good deeds is great. Amen. But let's give God the glory. When somebody asks you, you're going over and you're raking your neighbor's yard or you're mowing or something. Why are you doing this? Well, I'm a child of God. Not, well, I just wanted to be a... No, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. Give God the glory. I belong to Jesus. Amen. Just wanted to be a blessing because God's been so good to me. Give God the glory. And then the last application we looked at last week was much of God's direction in our lives is found upon the path of duty, isn't it? It's found on the path of duty. I've never known someone to be called into the service of God, Brother Leonard, who wasn't a busy person. Wasn't doing something for God in their local church. I get the privilege to speak at Bible colleges from time to time. And I remember what it was to sit in their seats and to get preached to. And one of the things that I was told in Bible college, and I believed it, and I tell it to young people, Brother Horsch, and I hope they believe it, was if you're not doing it now, you're not going to do it. If you're not reading your Bible while you're in Bible college, you'll not do it when you're a pastor and there's nobody watching you. Right. Nobody hovering over you. Amen. If you're not trying to be a witness while you're if you're not trying to be a witness in your local church, what makes you think you'll be a witness in Africa? Yeah. Amen. God's direction. Much of God's direction in our life is found on the path of duty. I'd encourage you to look at the Old Testament prophets. Look at Elisha plowing away. Come on. Look at Peter and John and James and Andrew. You know what they were doing? Working. Fishing. And Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Amen. Much of God's direction in our life is found on the path of duty. So we're in our text here. And I've got 3 points and several applications tonight. I want you to go back here in Genesis chapter 40. I want you to look at verses 14 and 15. First point tonight, we're talking about Joseph the discarded. Joseph the discarded. See, Joseph, with a heart bruised by cruelty and mistreatment and circumstances far beyond his control, continues to serve God, ladies and gentlemen. He just continues to do right, and he continues to walk with God, and he continues to have faith. But he certainly feels discarded. I want you to notice, number one, the hope of Joseph. The hope of Joseph. Look at verses 14 and 15 of chapter 40. And you remember, this is right in the midst of Joseph interpreting the dreams. He's just interpreted the Pharaoh's butler's dream, we know him as Pharaoh's cupbearer's dream. He would be the one that would taste Pharaoh's food to prevent the poisoning of the king. And here's this one, and Joseph interprets the dream, and then he says to him in verse number 14, "But think on me." He tells him what's going to happen. "You're going to be restored. You're going to go back to Pharaoh. But think on me when it shall be well with thee. And show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. And make mention of me unto Pharaoh. And bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also have done nothing that they should put me in the dungeon." Joseph here was full of hope. By the way, after he'd been in prison now for 11 years. I shouldn't say in prison for 11 years, but he was sold away when he was 17, and now he's 28 years old. And you get that figure because there's going to be 2 full years, and then later on in this chapter it says he's 30 years old. So just do the math there, amen? So for 11 years, he's been estranged from his family. And he was yet still full of... You know what he hoped for here? He hoped that the butler would remember him. You know, when you think about the idea of remembrance. He just said, "Think on me. Just remember me." He did an act of kindness here. And I don't think Joseph was scheming, Brother Case. I don't think he said, "Well, if I do this act of kindness, this is going to happen." I think kindness was just part of his soul. Yeah. As it ought to be ours. Well, not to do kindness so that God will bless us. We do acts of kindness because it's right and God blesses anyway. Amen? Say, "Well, I'm going to rake this yard and God's going to pour out His kindness upon me." Well, just rake the yard. It's okay. Amen? Feel free to do 815 West Washington if you want to. Amen? I just did it. Praise God. Amen? He just wanted him to remember him. But not only did he want the cupbearer, did he hope that the cupbearer would remember him, he hoped that the cupbearer would repay him. He said, look what he says there in verse 14, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness." Why? "Because I've shown kindness to you. I've encouraged you." Not only remember Joseph and repay Joseph, but relate Joseph's story to Pharaoh. Read, "I pray thee, and show," what's it say? "Show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto" who? Pharaoh. He wanted him to remember Joseph and repay Joseph and relate Joseph's story. And really what he wanted, he wanted him to release Joseph, didn't he? Look what it says. "Bring me out of this house. Why? Verse 15 tells us. Indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here I've done nothing that they should put me into prison. So the hope of Joseph, he hoped, Brother Jim, to get out. He hoped to get out. He hoped to see his father again. He hoped to see his brothers again. By the way, that hope is going to be very important in another couple of chapters here. Those of you that know the story, amen. The hope of Joseph. Secondly, I want you to notice the humanity of the butler. Verses 20 through 23. Look at them with me. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, just like Joseph had said. Amen. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. And here we see the humanity of the butler right here. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Forgetfulness, usually the conjoined Siamese twin of ingratitude, is a terrible trait in our lives. Amen. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I think, my heavens, in the last 3 to 4 messages on Sundays that I have quoted this passage numerous times. It's just such a rich passage. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And what a text this is, by the way. This entire chapter, all 25 verses, but particularly the beginning half where it talks about here, verse 4 tells us the Lord our God is one Lord, amen. Verse 5 tells us that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Verse 6 tells us that these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart a premium on the word of God. But if you look down at verse number 10, church, says, and it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. They say, Pastor, it's not possible to forget the Lord. I'd go you one better. Brother Abe, I don't think it would be possible to forget a guy that interpreted your dream and got you your job back to the king of the known world. I don't think it'd be possible. But he remembered not Joseph, but forgot him. And 2 full years passed by. The Bible says, listen, the Bible says this, tells us to add to our faith virtue. Amen? Virtue, knowledge. Yep. Knowledge, temperance. Yep. Temperance, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, charity. And it goes on in this beautiful laundry list for us to grow our faith. And Brother Cohn, it says this, that if we don't, that if he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, there's people all around Jackson tonight. If we were to go to their door and knock on their door and say, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? They would say, I don't know. And Brother Tim, then we'd go through the gospel with them a little bit and they'd say, yeah, I've done that. And I could tell you exactly why they doubt. Because they didn't grow their faith.
That's right.
They forgot that they were saved because they didn't grow their faith. The humanity of the butler is just this. He forgot. God help us in this holiday season, this Thanksgiving season, to remember who gives us the blessings. Amen. Amen. The humanity of the butler. the hope of Joseph. But oh, I love this third point, and we'll get into our applications tonight. The hand of God. The hand of God. Oh, it's literally going back to Genesis chapter 41. It's literally the next 45 verses, and we certainly don't have time to dissect each one of them tonight. But the hand of God, what happens in verses 1 through 8 is there's a problem. And that problem is simple. Pharaoh has a very perplexing dream. And he doesn't know what it's about, and it doesn't make any sense to him. And he's thinking about it, amen, in verses 1 through 8. Then we have not only the problem, but we have the previous. Now the butler says, look at verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. He remembered, didn't he? He remembered. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward with the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker, and we dreamed a dream one night, I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream, and there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream he did interpret, and it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored into mine office, and him he hanged. I want you to think about this. The problem, the previous, I want you to think about the placement, ladies and gentlemen. Look what it says in the next verse there. Verse 14. It says, Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. That 2 years, I think, Brother Jack, that 2 years was the toughest 2 years of all. Because he must have thought, well, I wonder if I'm getting out today. I wonder if the butler's going to remember me today, Pastor Donald. I wonder. And it didn't happen. And it didn't happen. And it didn't happen in January. And it didn't happen in February. And it didn't happen in March. And it didn't happen in April. And it didn't happen in May. And it didn't happen in June. And on and on and on and on. For 2 years! But he was placed right where he was supposed to be. From the pit to the prison to the palace. No prison, Brother Lolly, no palace. No prison, no palace. The placement. Then we see the proclamation. Of course, Pharaoh in verses 15 through 24 tells Joseph his dream. And then Joseph outlines the plan in verses 25 through 36. The plan, first of all, he interpreted the dream. He gave an interpretation. And then he gave an action. He told Pharaoh what was coming. He said there was going to be 7 prosperous years in Egypt of great plenty. And then 7 years of famine. And we need to get ready for the famine, he said. Gave a plan. And then we see, look down at verse 37. What a passage this is. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such an one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from off his hand. Just imagine this, folks. A slave, a prisoner, amen. Just imagine this. Think about it. He took off his ring from off his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot at which he had, and they cried before him, Bow the knee! And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in the land of Egypt. The promotion. You know, Psalm 75, verse 6, tells us who promotes. And here, of course, obviously it's Pharaoh, but the Bible says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge." God is the one that promoted him. But think about it, during those 2 years, Brother Steve, I bet he felt discarded. I bet he felt discarded. You know, I helped those people. Anybody else ever had that kind of pity party? I have. Help somebody and they turn around and kicked you. So here's what I want to give you just by way of application. And I've got four applications. Nuggets to consider during prolonged trials. Because that's what Joseph was in for 2 years. He was actually in it for 11 years. A prolonged trial. I remember Brother Horsch and I had so many, and we still do, by the way. Praise God. We had fellowship this morning, didn't we, brother? Amen. There's so many fellowships when Miss Nancy was going through a difficult thing. And one of the things that I stressed to Brother Horsch was it's so hard when you're going through a prolonged trial. See, the quick things in life, sometimes they stay with us longer and the suddenness of them gets us. But that day after day after day after day trial, I remember when Miss Nancy had to choose between medicines. One was going to shut down her kidneys, Brother Horsch, amen. And one, if she took that one, it shut down her kidneys. But if she didn't take it, she couldn't breathe. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a trial. That's a trial, amen. Some of you go through health trials. I think of Brother Herb, what you went through with Miss Maxine. When you're going through a prolonged trial, like Joseph did here, when you feel forgotten, forsaken, and discarded, I want you to remember these 4 points. First of all, number one, trusting in man can be disappointing. Trusting in man can be disappointing. Hey, I have a friend who's a pastor in West Virginia. Thank you. And he had posted last week on Facebook. Nobody here knows him, so I can tattle on him. Amen. He posted, and it was just a message saying, "I'm sorry. I want to be there, and I'm only one person." And I knew exactly what he was saying as a pastor. You know, he had skipped somebody's ingrown toenail surgery. He probably just couldn't make it for that because he was, out leading somebody to the Lord. Amen. And he had put this up, "I'm sorry, and I'm only one person, and I'm trying my best." And I sent him a message. It was in November. I sent him a quick message. I said, "Brother, I guess Pastor Appreciation Month's over." That was October. Amen. Now the ingrown toenail's back. Amen. Listen, the middle verse of your King James Bible, the middle verse is Psalm 118:8. And you know what it says? It says it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Amen. Now listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't have friends, and I'm not saying you shouldn't trust them. Listen, I hope we can trust each other and love each other, amen. But I'll tell you this, man will let you down. And you know what? Joseph here shows us that when you're trusting in man, you're going to be disappointed. Because he said to that man, "Remember me." And he didn't. Secondly, tonight, by way of application, trusting in man can be disappointing. Secondly, forsaking you is something that God will never do. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. No matter how deep the valley, no matter how dark the trial, no matter how strong the urge to raise your fist to God and say, "You've forsaken me," He has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Never! Never. Well, you ought to mark that verse. Hebrews 13:5. Forsaking you is something that God will never do. David said, "I've been young, and now I'm old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. But we feel that way. Listen, feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Amen. Not else is worth believing. Amen. See, there's a lot of times my feelings disagree with that book. And you know who's wrong? Yours truly. Sure. Wrong. And I have to repent of bad thinking. Dr. Phil Tharp used to call it stinking thinking, Brother Case. Amen. Repent of stinking thinking. Why? Because the reason that Jesus Christ was forsaken on the cross was so that you and I would never be forsaken. So when you feel discarded, when you feel forsaken, remember that forsaking you is something that God will never do. Thirdly, trusting in man can be disappointing. Forsaking you is something that God will never do. Thirdly, working all things for your good is God's current project in your life. Working all things for your good is God's current project in your life. You know Romans 8:28. You know it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But I like Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. If ever there was an example of Romans 8:28, it's Joseph. It's Joseph. Didn't he go on to say later in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, to his brothers who were still scheming, which they got from their dad, whose name was Deceiver and Supplanter, amen? Didn't he say to them, "As for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good"? Pastor, I don't understand this trial. I'll put my arm around you, cry with you, and say, "I don't either. But I know this, God's going to use it for good." Amen. He's going to use it for good. Lastly tonight, trusting in man can be disappointing. Forsaking you is something that God will never do. Working all things for your good is God's current project in your life. I love this one. Waiting on God's timing is not easy, but the end result is always far better. Waiting on God's timing is not easy, but the end results are far better. Psalm chapter 27, verse 14. Many of you know it. I'm going to quote it. And then we're going to look at another passage. So why don't you go there with me. Go to Psalm 27 and then we're going to go to Psalm 37. I'll give an illustration and we'll be through tonight. Psalm chapter 27. What a great start of the chapter. This chapter is really bookended great. I know it's all the Word of God, amen, but some verses stand out a little bit more. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Then if you jump down to verse 13, it says, "I had fainted." Think about Joseph here. Think about Joseph in light of this verse. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." God's delays are not denials. You will find Him true. Working through the hardest trials, what is best for you? Let me say that again. God's delays are not denials. You will find Him true. Working through the hardest trials, what is best for you? Go over to Psalm 37. And just hold your spot there. When I went to Midwestern Baptist College at age 25, 1997, I remember so much of it clear as day, and then I remember so much of it was a lack of sleep. Just feeling like I was going to keel right over in class. I used to sit behind a guy, and Mrs. Malone taught a class called Intro to Education, and all the preachers had to take it. And she used to joke with us all the time about, now you preachers, take notes so you'll stay awake in this class. You know, it was just one of those boring. We used to call it Intro to Bed instead of Intro to Ed, amen. Intro to Bed. And I'd sit behind this guy that had this giant head. And I remember Bible college. I remember so much about Bible college. But I remember very distinctly, Brother Jack, that I felt God was going to have me to be a pastor. Just say, how do you know? I wish I could, you know, write a book on it, but it'd be a real short book. I just knew. Like when I met my wife, like when I took other steps in the will of God, I just knew. And I knew God wanted me to be a pastor. I graduated at 29 years old, and I figured, Brother Howard, I'd get to pastoring right away. I was 29. I was old. A lot of guys out there pastoring 22, 23, 24 years old, getting out there. And I served for 4 years under my pastor, Eric Tharp. And within that 4 years, had an opportunity, a couple opportunities, to candidate. And God closed the door. God closed the door. But on July 10th, 2005, with my pastor, my founding pastor, leaving, I candidated at my home church. Precious place to me. The place where I got saved. The place where I had been called out of. The place where my wife and I were married. The place where we had served now for 4 years, going on five. And on July 10th, I preached in the morning, and I taught Sunday school, and I had a question and answer time with the church in the afternoon. And then in the evening, I preached again, and they took the vote. My pastor said, do you want to know yes or no? Do you want to know the numbers? I said, I just want to know yes or no. My wife and I did not vote. And the answer was no. A little disappointing. Your home church? A little disappointing. Not disheartening, because it's his church.
Amen.
But my church, this is not my church. It's our church, but it's his church. His church. July 10th, 2005, I went home on a Sunday night, not despondent, but certainly a little disappointed. And I read this passage that's before us in Psalm 37. Look at verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, in thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. I served there another year under the pastor, Pastor Chad Correa, who preached here for us last year. Amen. Love Brother Correa. Love him. We served together. And I did my dead level best, Pastor Donald, to point people to that man. Because he's the pastor, and I wasn't. I was the associate. I was the youth pastor. It's my job to push people to him. Amen. Amen. That is the second man's job. Those of you that know ministry, that is the second man's job. And after a year, God made it clear to us that we were to go and work with another preacher there. And for 3 years, I worked a job. And worked, drove 40 miles one way to work. Worked with Brother Marty Schott, whom I love with all my heart. Love that man. And in that third year, I got a call from Dr. David Carr, president of Midwestern Baptist College. And he asked me, Brother Jim, are you still interested in pastoring? I'd been an associate for almost 10 years. And I said, well, Doc, I always have been. God just hadn't brought the opportunity along. He said, well, there's a church in Jackson, Michigan that just lost their pastor. And they're looking for a pastor. Can I give them your name? I'll tell you what I did, Brother Jeff. I said, you pray about it. You pray about it. If God leads you, you give them my name. By the way, that's a good way to operate. I know Dave Carr walks with the Lord. You pray about it. And sure enough, I got a call later from Brother Tom Sammons, the chairman of the pulpit committee. And then later on, I got a call from each of the men on the pulpit committee. Brother Kelly, Brother Jack, Brother Becker, Brother Mark Epperly, Brother Earl Wedge. Talked to them. Came here in September of 2009 and candidated. You poor people were desperate. And you asked me to be your pastor. None of that would have happened if I'd have forced the issue long before. It's not easy to wait on God. It's just not. But in the end, it's always better. You're right smack in the will of God. Father, we love you.